Hi, my name is Adrian Westney Jr., and you're now listening to The More Abundant Life, a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages and inspiring presentations by Pastor Wendley Phipps. Today, we're going to begin a two-part series, a short series on the title, Enlarge My Vision. Part one of this message is going to begin, but just now we have, before the message, some music that I hope that you'll enjoy and appreciate.
Day in and day out, working hard and learning how to play the ruthless game. All the while your heart becomes so cold. You're selling out your soul, reaching for a temporary goal. But when you reach that final sunset and you look into his eyes, will the feeling in your heart be joy, or will it be your last goodbye? It would be the greatest tragedy if you never realized compared to eternal life. You finally arrived, making lots of money, but there's emptiness inside.
Listening to The More Abundant Life. My name is Adrian Westney Jr., your host, and we just heard music entitled Eternal Life from the CD entitled The Power of a Dream by Wendley Phipps. Here now is today's message.
If you have your Bibles with you, I want you to turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 2, verse 46. The Bible says there, "And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and answering them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. It was early one April morning. The dawn had not yet broken. Lying on his bed was the young boy Jesus, eyes wide open, heart racing with excitement. It almost seemed as though he laid awake all night long. He was ecstatic, excited. The morning would bring his first visit to the big city of Jerusalem. Remember how excited you were to go to the big city for the first time. Amen. Jesus was not long past his 12th birthday, and reaching the age of 12 was an important milestone, a significant spiritual event for a Hebrew boy. Reaching the age of 12 marked the beginning of a new chapter of faith and maturity. 12 was the time when a Hebrew boy ceased to be a child, and in the eyes of the law, 12 was when you became a man. Oh, my friends, I said 12 was when you became a man. You haven't met too many 12-year-old men. At 12, a Jewish boy was made an apprentice. It was at 12, according to the Jews, that Moses left the house of Pharaoh's daughter. It was at 12 that Samuel was called into service in the temple. And for a young Jewish boy, 12 was a rite of passage. And so it was at 12 that Jesus joined with pilgrims from all over Palestine as they traveled to the big city of Jerusalem. They traveled together. Women and the old men rode upon the oxen. The young and the strong journeyed on foot. The hills about them were ablaze with color. Spring was in the air. It was clean and clear and crisp, and the air sparkled with the laughter of little children. The sweet melody of the birds rose like fragrance in the air, and it was for the boy Jesus a journey he would never forget. You see, from Nazareth to Jerusalem was about 80 miles, and almost every mile was rich in history and memory. And so as they traveled, fathers and mothers shared with their children the miracles God had done in the past. Not far away was Shunem, where the woman's son was raised from the dead. Off in another direction was Gilboa, where Saul had perished. And as they came in sight of the city of Jerusalem, suddenly, spontaneously, the people broke out in singing Psalm 122, Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. I'm sure that as Mary and Joseph saw the magnificence of the temple, they hoped that the young boy Jesus would sense a divine urging to become a respected rabbi himself. You see, almost every mother wants their child to become a preacher. And so too Mary and Joseph hoped that when Jesus saw the temple and the impressive robes of the priests, that he too would feel compelled to take up ministry as his calling and his chosen career. Oh, little did they know that he was already in the ministry.
Yes, sir.
Little did they know that he had nursed all his childhood, that God had placed him here for an undeniable purpose. Few people knew that the childhood of Jesus was filled with the same kinds of questions that you have. You see, I believe that the Bible says that he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are. So I believe that early in his life, Jesus wrestled with the same questions that are common to our humanity.
Yes.
Oh, are you with me today?
Yes.
I believe that Jesus asked those questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What did God place me here to do with my life? The same questions you ask yourself. Jesus, as a boy, asked himself because he was touched with all the feeling of our infirmities. What is the meaning of my life? Well, that day when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem, he seemed to be drawn to what the great temple he had read and heard so much about. You see, in olden days, the place of worship was the center of the community. You remember when the church was the center of the community? But in our modern society, it's not the church, it's the bank. That's where you really meet your neighbors. Are you with me today? It's the post office. We live in a society that worships money. And the places of finance have become our shrines and our temples. Are you with me today? They are the most sacred things in modern society. That's why do you think that Al-Qaeda, when they wanted to strike at the heart of the morale of America, they struck the World Trade Center. They didn't come for our churches. They didn't come for our temples. They didn't come for our synagogues. They came for our financial shrines. In Africa, I heard of a village that had accepted the gospel, and they built a place of worship right in the middle of the village. And that way, whenever one elder or family would stop coming to church, the grass would grow up between their hut and the church. Are you with me? And the grass was a sign that somebody needed to pay that elder a visit, who would stop being faithful. That day in Jerusalem, Jesus found himself drawn irresistibly toward the temple, and as he watched the proceedings, something began to happen in the heart and mind of Jesus. As he watched the ceremony as a boy for the first time in the temple, his heart began to stir. He felt the dawning of what would be for him a larger vision for his life. Jesus stood there in the temple, wide-eyed, his little heart straining to understand the meaning of what he was watching. Have mercy. For the first time, he saw the priests going about their holy ministry. And just imagine, this was the first time that Jesus saw the priests in Jerusalem take a knife and take the life of an innocent lamb. This was the first time the young boy Jesus saw the bleeding sacrifice offered on the altar. This was the first time he watched the sacred flame consume the sacrifice in a holy fire of reverence. And as the young boy watched that service, somehow something within him told him that this service pointed to him. And it began to dawn upon his little heart that this was his destiny, that he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There was an awakening in his spirit that told him that he was the sacrifice. Have mercy. And there in the temple, it became clear to Jesus that he was to be the lamb who before the shearers was dumb. He was to be the lamb slain for the sins of the world. He was only 12 years old, but in the temple, the vision of his destiny was being clarified and enlarged. In the temple, his young heart began to understand the meaning of what he saw, and moved by this vision, Jesus went off into a remote part of the temple alone, and he pondered this 12-year-old. Can you imagine that? 12 years old, and you're sitting in a corner of the temple by yourself, and you're praying to the Father, your eyes trying your mind, is trying to understand all, to take in all that you saw. And there in the temple, that little boy knew he had to make a decision. Would he accept this larger vision for his life? Would he follow the path of destiny? Would he follow the vision God had laid out for his life? Would he give his life to the work God had called him to do? Would he live by the compass of destiny or by the compass of coincidence? Would he be guided by accident or would he be guided by purpose and design? As a 12-year-old, Jesus agonized, he prayed, and then in a quiet moment, he embraced the larger vision for his life. And now when all the Passover pilgrims headed for home, somehow Mary and Joseph forgot about Jesus. He was consumed with that larger vision. And in the press of the crowd, Mary and Joseph didn't realize they had left Jesus behind. They assumed that he was with them, traveling maybe with the other children. But that 12-year-old had come to a decision, and he embraced a larger vision. As he wandered about the temple under conviction, Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit, came upon a larger room, walked in, sat down at the feet of the priest. Just imagine this moment with me. The creator of the universe, clad in human flesh as a youth, sitting there listening to scholars trying to make sense of words he had spoken to prophets. Are you with me today?
Yes, sir.
That little boy Jesus, listening to scribes and Pharisees, parsing his own words, his own thoughts. And he sat there, 12 years of age, listening to them trying to make sense of scriptures he had given to prophets. And as they struggled to understand the truths and principles he had ordained, Jesus, and you know, my Jesus was awesome. He used for inspiration stuff scholars struggled to make sense of. Hallelujah. As a child, Jesus had more wisdom and learning than lawyers and scholars who had matriculated in the best institutions of higher learning. After a time of answering their questions, you know, can you imagine sitting there with a 12-year-old and you are great doctors and lawyers and scholars, and you're asking each other hard questions, and you're saying, what about this? And then the little 12-year-old speaks up and said, well, the answer to that is this. And then after a while, Jesus began to ask them questions that he wanted them to answer. He questioned those old rabbis about the prophecies of the Messiah, and when they couldn't answer his questions, he would answer for them. Oh, yeah, I like that. You know, he would sit there and say, now, when does the sun come up in the east and why? And after a long pause, Jesus would say, well, the answer to that is this. After a while, they began to turn to this 12-year-old with their hard questions, and they listened in amazement to his answers. 12 years old, and yet this child was expounding from the scriptures, giving them an insight born of heavenly wisdom. And I can almost hear someone in that group of teachers saying, who is this? Who is this? Who is this young man? From whence has he come? It is evident that he's got great promise. He must be a prodigy. But how has he come by so much knowledge and learning when he's never been taught by us? We can use him in our administration. We surely could use him as an asset. Let us, and then someone else will say, let us make him one of our students. Maybe we could give him an all-expense-paid scholarship to our seminary and take charge of his educational development with a mind like that. We must mold him after our mind. You know, we as a people love conformity, church. And one of the great dangers of a church that is committed to the principles of conformity is that too often we despise and restrain the release of the promise of the individual. We are so bent on controlling other people that we squash their individuality We're so committed to conformity that we squash the release of the promise that is in the individual. And we do that even in ministry. We try to make others conform to our ways and our methods. And the priests were no better. They were saying, and this was their cry, make him like us. Well, maybe God doesn't want him to be like you. Make them do things our way. Maybe God doesn't want it done your way anymore. Come on, somebody say amen. You know I'm telling you. Look at what it says in Matthew 23, verse 13, 14, 15. Jesus says, woe unto you in verse 15. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees. You compass sea and land to make people just like you. Oh, you're listening to me. He said, you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he's made, you make him more the child of hell than yourself. Woo! You will not go, look at verse 15. You will go to any length to convert one person, both here and abroad. I'm reading clear word now. But after that person is converted, he's more likely to be kept out of heaven than before because of what you taught him. Oh, church, while those lawyers and scholars were designing the future of Jesus, Mary and Joseph noticed that he was not with them, turned around in panic. They looked for him in the place where they first set up camp, and Jesus was not there. They looked for him where the other children were playing, but Jesus was not there. And as Mary and Joseph prayed for their son's return, their ears caught the sound of a voice coming from the room of training and instruction in the temple. And right away, they recognized that voice. You see, even as a child, Jesus had a voice that was unique. It was a young voice, but it was earnest. Have you ever heard a young person talk to you that's sincere? There is a ring in their voice. Are you with me today? Have you ever heard a young person talk to you who had been converted? There is an earnestness, a nobleness, a seriousness. Jesus' voice was a young voice, but it echoed with the harmonies of heaven. Now just think. Other mothers who lost their children went back home, found their children playing games. They found them in the mall. Are you with me? In today's language, come on, think about it. If you're looking for a 12-year-old, where would you look? In the mall. At the arcade. Huh? Where PlayStation 2 is, you know? You wouldn't think to look in the library at the local college or university. But that's where Jesus was. He was there holding court as if he were defending his dissertation. Other mothers found their sons pretending to be Roman soldiers with makeshift swords and shields. Mary and Joseph didn't find Jesus on the playground. They found him at the university. Woo! Now that's awesome. Now you could expect that a child found by parents under such circumstances would receive imminent reproach and impending chastisement. That's my way of saying you're going to be dealt with when you get home. Mary said, Jesus, we've been looking all over for you. We didn't know where you were. We've been worried sick. Jesus said, Mother, God has shown me my life's destiny. God has enlarged my vision. But son, someone could have taken you away and done harm to you, Mother. You don't understand. God has made clear to me the purpose and meaning of my life on this earth. I'm 12 years old, but the Father has enlarged my vision. Mother, you didn't have to go all over the city looking for me. You should have known that I'd be right here in my Father's house. This larger vision I've embraced, he said, wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business. Mother, this is my life. Now, brothers and sisters, these are important words. Listen to this.
They are the only,
first of all, they are the first recorded words of Jesus. It's the first thing the Bible records that Jesus ever said.
Wit ye not that I would be about my Father's business? And what a large vision to live by, church, your Father's business.
I believe that one reason why God preserved this only event found in the life of Jesus was because, as a child, was because for Jesus, embracing this vision was a momentous moment. It was a turning point. Whenever a child enlarges their vision enough to take on the job of being about their Father's business, that's an important moment in the life of that child. I believe that this is the only record of Jesus' childhood preserved. Why? Because so in the dawning of the sense of destiny, we would be inspired as children to see and embrace a larger vision for our lives. Young people, let me tell you it this way. There comes a moment in all of our lives when you realize that life is more than fun and games. You realize, well, amen, are you with me today? Life is more than about trinkets and trivialities. You realize life is more than about fame and fortune and TV. It's more about more than stocks and bonds. All these things have their place, but there comes a moment in the life of a young person, and I'm preaching to some young person today, so that you will know there comes a moment when you realize that life is more than about Xbox and Nintendo and PlayStation. It is more than about millionaires selling shoes to poor people. It is more than what you realize. Life is more than about money. It's more than about career, more than about rappers and MTV. There comes a moment when, like that young boy Jesus, you got a chance to enlarge your vision.
That's about all the time that we have for today's message, Enlarge My Vision, Part 1. This is program number 378 in our series, program number 378, and many of you have called or written about getting audio copies of the message. That is an easy thing to do. You want to visit the Seabrook Church website. Now, the Seabrook Church sponsors this program, The More Abundant Life. So if you go to the website, and I'm going to give you that in a second, you can get all the information you need about today's message, program number 378. The website is seabrooksda.org. Again, that's seabrooksda.org. Well, we're just about out of time. My name is Adrian Westley Jr. I want to wish you God's richest blessings as we do from week to week. And also want to point you to the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, the words of Jesus. I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.